WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions for the Philadelphia Eagles versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to start with a little guest we have named Zachary Elrod. He is our producer. We're going to start him off with our predictions. Zach, how are you doing? And let's get it going.
What's up, guys? I'm glad to be on the show. For my top performer for the Eagles Buccaneers, I got A.J. Brown.
Okay.
Now, A.J. Brown, he's been slacking, you know. Only this year he's had 108 yards, no touchdowns. And we all know Devontae Smith, he's been taking over, 178 yards, two touchdowns. But I believe A.J. Brown, he's had 16 targets with Devontae Smith's 15 targets. So he's still their wide receiver one. But I think he's going to take over, he's going to capitalize. And, you know, he's going to show them and prove to them that he's still that wide receiver one. And he may even, you know, go back to the end zone and get a touchdown.
And what's your score prediction?
For my score prediction, I got a 24-21 Eagles win.
Okay, let's move on to – let's start off with mine. For the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm going to go kind of basic on mine with a big Mike Evans performance. He has been phenomenal so far throughout the season, but who would have thought? He's the wide receiver four currently with Baker Mayfield throwing him the ball. 18.6 points week one and 29.1 in week two. He's been just great, kind of getting back into that form, even with Chris Godwin. So hopefully he can get back to it against the Eagles. And I have him going for I have him going for 26 points with the Buccaneers upsetting the Eagles 23-17. Buccaneers upset of the century. Lincoln, go to you.
Yeah, I got Mike Evans too. I mean, he's been fantastic so far this year, averaging 23.5 fantasy points, I think. I just checked it. It's 23-something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm expecting him to have a pretty big game. Baker obviously relies on him, like, a ton. So, right now I have him chalked in at 7 catches, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. That would land him just shy of 30 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. And score prediction-wise, I got the Bucs upsetting the Eagles 31-27.
Wow.
In Tampa Bay. I think they get it done. They've looked actually like a very complete team so far. Mm-hmm. The defense is no joke. Eagles get 27 points, though, because it's the Eagles' offense, and they are very good. But, Jake, what do you got for tonight?
Well, I'm going to complete this sweep going into our prediction. I'll start with my prediction because, I mean, I got really excited. I got the Bucs winning tonight as well. I thought I'd be the only one to come away with that expectation. But so I got the Bucs winning with a game-winning field goal, 27-24, for a Monday night victory at home. But the biggest performer, I'm going to continue to stay on his hype train because I have been through week one, week two, week three, and it's Devontae Smith. I mean, Devontae Smith is just, I mean, he's been the clear-cut guy in Philadelphia so far. I mean, besides DeAndre Swift's monster game on the ground last week. But through the air, Jalen Hurts has just been feeding Devontae Smith. And I like where Zach's going with bringing back A.J. Brown. He still is considered that wide receiver one there. And I think Brown will slowly continue to get back to his what he can do. But, I mean, right now, I mean, it's Devontae Smith.
He's been running it. Now, let's move into our second game of Monday Night Football. This one between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. Zach, let's get it started.
All right, I got my top performer for this game, and I'm going a different route at quarterback with Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
Coming off a game, he had 307 yards, but he had two interceptions. But he's a veteran. He's been in the league for a long time now. And, you know, he knows what to do. He knows how to get back. He's going to have a great game today. He's got two talented receivers with Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua. They got something to prove. They're young. We got to make sure that, you know, we got to find out if they're consistent or not. So I think he's going to have a good game, and he's going to find them.
Okay, so score prediction?
The score prediction is going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be 28-21 Rams win.
Wow. I love that.
I love the Matthew Stafford pick. I mean, if you're going to choose the two quarterbacks, you got to take the Super Bowl champion, am I right?
Uh-huh. I completely agree. So let's move into my prediction. Mine is a bit of a denial pick, and that is Ja'Marr Chase, who I have in my big league and has not done anything. I think he's going to be the big performer this week. He's going to have a bounce back game. Joe Burrow was able to find T. Higgins all game last week, and I think it's Ja'Marr Chase's turn. He saw the targets, didn't get the volume. I think it's time. I think he comes back with 9 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown, putting him at just around 30 points tonight. So, Bengals, please, if there's anybody out there, the offense, you got to get it back, man. For the sake of Ja'Marr Chase fantasy owners like me, we got to get it rolling. And I think the Bengals win 31-24 tonight.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to Puka Nacua. He's been my guy in a couple leagues this year, replacing like late first-round pick Cooper Kupp. But tonight I've got him going for 13 catches, 129 yards. I don't have him getting into the end zone. He hasn't gotten into the end zone yet this season. But, I mean, I would expect him to score over 20 points. He's got 35 targets this season. He's caught 25 passes. He's got 260 yards.
Jeez.
Like, I have no reason not to believe that they're going to feed him 12, 15 targets again this week. I expect him to catch most of those. I think it's a 25-point game for Puka Nacua. But I don't think the Rams get it done. I think they lose this game 24-14. I think it's about time that the Bengals show that they're not a bad football team. What about you, Jake?
I disagree. I think the Bengals are going to lose again tonight. To be honest with you. I think the Bengals are still a good football team, but I don't think they get on track yet. I agree with the Puka Nacua. That's my biggest performer tonight as well. I think he goes for 9 catches, 137 yards. Doesn't find the end zone tonight. I think it's going to be a very big Kyron Williams goal line, go-to-go,
pound
the rock.
I really hope so.
But I have the Rams winning a close one in Cincinnati. I mean, the Bengals are literally doing anything they can. They started Joe Burrow even though he's banged up. They're wearing their all-white icy uniforms. They are finding anything they can to find a win. But I think the Rams are just going to just rip it away from them. With another game-winning field goal, I got the Rams winning 23-20.
Dang, okay. You got some good Monday Night Football games happening today.
I mean, we need one. I mean, the injury curse on Monday Night Football is alive. Every Monday Night Football game, there's been a big injury. And all the games have just not been – they've been subpar, and I say we get two thrillers tonight.
I do have a quick question for the both of you. So how hard will Cooper Kupp, when he comes back, how hard will that affect Puka Nacua's fantasy production?
I think we're looking at like a Robert Woods kind of guy once Kupp's back. Because, I mean, you got to think, like, they fed him last year. Robert Woods was a very capable receiver for at least one of those 2 years that Kupp was insane in Los Angeles. Puka Nacua is a younger, more talented receiver at this point in his career than Robert Woods is. But, like, I don't – like, Matthew Stafford seems to hyper-target people. He's done it his entire career. He did it with Calvin Johnson. He did it with T.J. Hawkinson there at the very end of his Lions tenure. He did it with – did he ever play with Amon-Ra Stafford?
No.
No, they picked him after? Okay, but yeah. I would expect it to go back. He'll probably get about 8, 10 targets a game. You're looking at like 6, 7 catches. He'll be startable. I think he'll probably be a flex option still, but it's definitely not going to be the 25-point per game guy that you have right now.
I think I'd completely agree. I think he's going to be a flex guy. I mean, when you look at it, Stafford and Kupp, I mean, Stafford feeds Kupp when he's on the field. And if Kupp can stay healthy and not let that age catch up to him, he's just going to get fed the rock if he can get open still. I don't know what his route running is still like with his injuries and his age. But if he can be a little bit better than average, I truly think Stafford's just going to feed Kupp like he has the last 2 years. But I think Nacua can still definitely be a flex option.
I think the one that gets hurt the most with Kupp coming back is Tutu Atwell. He's been great, but I mean, when Kupp comes back, Tutu Atwell is just going to be a wide receiver three, and we all know Stafford doesn't look at the wide receiver three all often. No. Ben Skowronek found out the hard way. So let's move into our waiver wire pickups. We've got a few this week, some big performances, some injuries, which makes it easy to get some waiver wire pickups out there. I'm going to start with somebody that's kind of obvious, and that's Devon Achane, who is most definitely on probably everybody's waivers unless you're on like a 14-man league. 51 points versus the Denver Broncos, which was absolutely absurd. I don't want to touch up on it a ton. However, he is the RB2. Salvon Ahmed was hurt. Raheem Mostert saw 6 yards a carry against Denver, so I'm not sure how much Devon Achane will see volume-wise for the rest of the season. However, if he's going to keep performing like that, it's not a bad idea to pick him up now before he kind of picks up steam. So look at Devon Achane, everybody. He's going to be a beast. Lincoln, what you got?
There's a couple different guys I want to mention here. I want to start with a quarterback. I've been doing this every week. It's not Anthony Richardson this week because he's now picked up in 70-plus percent of leagues. Yep. It's going to be C.J. Stroud this week.
Love
another
that.
Rookie quarterback in Houston. He's got 2 300-yard passing games under his belt. I think he got over 300 last week. It was close, but I do think he got over. They beat the brakes off the Jaguars last week. Yep. Stroud looks really good. Like, really,
he's
really
good. He's the
best
quarterback so far out of the rookies.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredibly accurate. He makes great decisions. He's got actually two very capable receivers in Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Tank Dell, another guy you should probably go pick up if he's available. But, yeah, so I'm not going to touch on him for too long. If you need a quarterback, I would go to Stroud. I'm going to pick him up in one or two leagues. But I'm going to move on to some wide receivers here. I got Elijah Moore and Joshua Palmer. Elijah Moore saw 10-plus targets this week once again. Deshaun Watson likes him. I mean, he definitely looks his way. Nick Chubb's out, so that short game, you're looking at a lot of drag routes. They don't have Chubb to get those yards anymore. I think Elijah Moore can be that guy. He might be a flex option for a portion of this season here. And then Joshua Palmer, obviously Mike Williams, unfortunately went down with the torn ACL this past week. Palmer came in. He put up 14 fantasy points in relief of Williams. So I think I would definitely go take a look at him. He's very obviously above the depth chart, or above Quentin Johnston on the depth chart, despite the fact that the Chargers picked him in the first round. I don't know what they're doing with him.
That's true. I haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah, and then the last guy I want to mention, if he's somehow still available, is Sam Laporta in Detroit, the tight end. He had 20-plus fantasy points this week. Jared Goff is feeding him. If you need a tight end, which a lot of people probably do, if Laporta's there, go get him right now.
He's definitely that number two target out in Detroit, obviously. Jake, what you got?
I got a running back that should be available in most leagues. Now, I don't think he is going to be playable for very long, and even if you do have him, he's definitely replaceable in the flex option. But I'm going to go with Matt Breida for the Giants because we don't know how long Saquon's out for. I mean, his injury doesn't seem extremely severe, but he's not. I don't believe he's going to be on the field next week again. Breida only rushed for 17 yards, which you're like, okay, so why would I go pick this guy up? I mean, they were trailing against the Niners the entire game on Thursday Night Football. The Giants weren't going to run the ball. But he did find the end zone. He ended up with 10 fantasy points. I mean, that is a solid flex option in a 10-man, 12-man league if you need someone. And the Giants are very run-heavy when they get to the goal line. They don't do it like doing anything fancy. They clearly just feed your running backs. And I think if they get down there, Breida's going to get the ball, and he's going to find the end zone. And he didn't share the backfield as much as I thought they were going to. Breida was clearly the guy back there without Barkley there. So, I mean, go pick him up as a flex option, and maybe you start him this week.
I 100% agree. With all that being said, we're going to be right back after a short intermission for our perfect lineup predictions for Week 4 of Fantasy Football. We'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa, Student Section Fantasy Sports. Let's get into our perfect lineup predictions for Week 4 of Fantasy Football. Let's start with the quarterbacks. We'll start with Jake. Let's get it going.
Well, I'm going to keep it simple this time. I'm going with the best quarterback in the league, Patrick Mahomes.
Lame.
I'm not. It is a little lame. But after seeing what Taylor Swift did to that Chiefs offense, are you kidding me? I mean, I don't – and I'm not a Swiftie, and I don't mean to bring in Taylor Swift to everything. But, they were playing the Bears. So it was nothing crazy and nothing that nobody was expecting. But, I mean, Mahomes and Kelce are back, and that's why I put Kelce – I mean, to ruin my tight end pick, I also have Kelce. I went with the stack because of Taylor Swift, to be honest with you. But Mahomes – they're playing the Jets. I mean, the Jets' defense is good, without a doubt. But just that whole – I feel like it's just a whole locker room issue right now.
Yeah.
I mean, with that Aaron Rodgers injury, it it truly brought them down. And I'm not a big fan of Zach Wilson, but and it's not completely his fault. It really just looks like a Jets organization thing right now. They just don't look the same. Their defense isn't performing like they can be. So I'm going with Mahomes. I think he's going to tear it up.
And I think real quick, the defense for the Jets is going to be on the field a lot because the offense is just not going to produce.
And they're going to get gassed out. I mean, No matter how good your defense is, if they're on the field all the time, it does not matter. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're going to go against the Chiefs offense, good luck.
I'm going to go over to Philadelphia. I got Jalen Hurts. He's playing the Commanders this week. If there's one thing I know about Commanders football, it's that the Eagles in the regular season like to just beat up on them routinely. Jalen Hurts did it all of last year. I expect him to do it again this week. The Eagles offense has looked like a little off outside of like the second half against Minnesota last week. But I would expect them to get it going completely against Washington this week. It's in Philadelphia, I believe. That could be wrong. I didn't put the ats versus the verses on my notes today. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Hurts, I would expect to get a couple tush-push touchdowns like he always does. And I think you're looking at like what you would expect from Jalen Hurts when you drafted him, like 25 to 30 points this week against Washington.
All right, so I'm going to look like the weirdo for this pick. I'm a little unorthodox. I'm going to go Geno Smith versus the New York Giants.
MVP Geno Smith?
MVP.
They wrote me off, and I did not write back Geno Smith.
That Geno Smith.
That's still the hardest quote I've ever heard.
He's back.
Against the New York Giants, who got cooked by Dak Prescott, cooked by Brock Purdy, and cooked by Josh Dobbs. What makes you think that Geno Smith is not going to do the same thing? He cooked the Carolina Panthers last week. How many points do they have? 40-plus. Just an explosion from the offense, and I think it's going to happen again versus the Giants just because they have not looked good whatsoever. Again, with no Saquon Barkley, the offense isn't going to be on the field a ton, meaning the Seahawks are going to get a bunch of opportunities for guys like Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett to get going. Maybe JSN goes a little crazy because he hasn't really produced much at all this year either. Maybe he gets going. Kenneth Walker is going to have a great week as well. So I'm going to go with Geno Smith for my QB1 this week in my perfect lineup.
All right, so let's go over to the running backs next. My two running backs this week are two guys, well, technically one was drafted in the first round, but a little unorthodox, and that's Bijan Robinson.
I love it.
I'm going to go Bijan. I mean, I understand they split the backfield, and Arthur Smith loves to just run the ball with his three running backs and his quarterback because his quarterback can't throw.
Yeah.
But it's the first London game of the year. I personally love London games. And historically, London games has led to crazy fantasy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Bijan Robinson is going to have a big game against Jacksonville, and everybody and most people are probably like, "Well, why Jacksonville? Jacksonville's defense is playing well, and Jacksonville's a good team." Well, they're sitting at 1-2 right now, and we don't know how good the Jacksonville team is, considering they just got embarrassed by the Houston offense.
That defense gave up 37 points
exactly
to the Houston Texans.
I think the jet lag will catch up to a defensive side of the ball more than an offensive side. That's why I go with Bijan Robinson as my RB1. And my RB2 is Kenneth Walker, a Seattle guy. He had a massive week against... Remind me, the Panthers this week, mm-hmm. Put up 30 points, found the end zone a couple times, maybe once, maybe twice. But I think he does it again. They're playing the Giants defense. The Giants defense, although on paper look good, they've given up 100 yards on the ground per game so far, and teams are averaging 4 yards a carry on the Giants defense. So I think Kenneth Walker continues to get that workload. Seattle shows what happens in that offense when they actually use Kenneth Walker, and good things are going to come for the Seahawks and Kenneth Walker. He's my RB2.
Now, I'm going to go into my RB1 here. It is Kenneth Walker. He's playing New York this week. I don't have to go too far into it because Jake said basically all of it. He averaged 5.4 yards a carry last week, got up to 97 yards on just 18 carries. He's got 4 touchdowns already this season. He had 2 again last week. And he also caught 3 passes for 59 yards, which is really encouraging use in the receiving game. But I would expect – like I'm expecting Seattle to win this game by at least like – a touchdown or two. So I would think once they get up, like you're looking late third quarter into the fourth quarter, they're going to run that ball a lot. So Kenneth Walker's my RB1 this week. I would expect a big game out of him. He's been dominant. Zach Charbonnet has been invisible in that offense so far this year. There's definitely no worry that Kenneth Walker is the RB1 there, and he's my RB1. And my RB2 this week is Jerome Ford in Cleveland.
Wow.
Interesting.
He's
like
facing off against Baltimore this week. Their rushing defense is not bad, but they haven't been fantastic this year. Jerome Ford last week, I'm going to completely ignore the fact that he had 1.8 yards per carry. Just ignore that. 10 carries, 18 yards. That's not pretty. But he got into the end zone twice, which tells me that as soon as the Browns get into the red zone, they're trying to give the ball to Jerome Ford.
I will say, though, a statistic that I know off the top of my head, I do not know why, is in the years Nick Chubb has played against the Ravens, they play twice a year, never played a third time because of the playoffs. But Nick Chubb has never rushed for over 90 yards against the Baltimore Ravens in his career in a game. So Jerome Ford might be able to break it.
I'm really just banking on touchdowns here. I mean, if he's going to average 1.8 yards a carry,
he'll find
again,
the end zone. I mean, the Ravens defense in the red zone, stout when it comes to set the secondary, but teams can literally just walk the ball in with the running back. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I think Jerome Ford is a good option this week.
I think he'll have a big game this week. I don't know. I wouldn't pick Cleveland to win that game personally, despite all the injuries in Baltimore. But like Jerome Ford, if you've got him, start him.
He was involved in the passing game too, which I really enjoy. So I'm going to move on to my running backs. And I might sound basic, but we're going to go with the RB1, Christian McCaffrey, who is the overall RB1 at the moment. Last week against the New York Giants, 18 attempts, 85 yards, and a touchdown, hauled in all 5 of his targets for 34 yards. This week he gets the Arizona Cardinals, who are coming off of a very impressive win against the Dallas Cowboys. However, I'm not sure how they're going to stop McCaffrey, who has now scored in 12 straight games and is looking for 13. If he does score that 13, it would break the 49er record for most consecutive touchdowns in a game scored, breaking Jerry Rice's record. So I'm sure he's looking for that, and I'm sure he's going to get it. They're going to force feed him the ball. McCaffrey only didn't put up insane numbers last week because the Niners were playing from ahead for so much of the game. So I think he'll get a heavy load of the carries versus the Cardinals. He's going to have a big day. And then RB2, I have Zach Moss versus the Rams. Moss just had a great game. I already talked about him against the Baltimore Ravens with 22.5 points. And I think he does it again against the Rams, who defensively are definitely not the best in the league. Not sure what the situation's going to look like with Anthony Richardson. I'm sure he'll play. But Zach Moss, again, he's a viable RB1, RB2, and I think he has another breakout game this week against the Rams.
All right, so let's jump into the wide receiver positions. The wide receiver, when it comes to fantasy, in my opinion, is the most unpredictable position.
Definitely.
Week in, absolutely, week out. I mean, we have Puka Nacua setting records. We got other guys just putting up, Shaheed for the Saints putting up numbers. I mean, really, it's hard to choose who's going to be the best wide receiver. So with all that being said, I'm going to be extremely lame, and I'm taking Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. But, no.
They're going to score points.
Yeah, they will.
Excuse me, not Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs, but that doesn't – okay. But I'm taking Davante Adams as my wide receiver one over Diggs. Some statistics here. They're playing the Chargers defense, and that Chargers defense continues to put up big numbers – or wide receivers continue to put up big numbers against the Chargers defense. Week one, Tyreek Hill had 45.5 fantasy points on the Chargers. Week two, there wasn't a main receiver that put up points, but Tannehill threw for 250 and a touchdown with multiple guys having decent fantasy numbers. And then just this last week, Jefferson had a quiet 28 points on the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers secondary is horrendous. Davante Adams just dropped 44 points against the Steelers. I think Davante Adams has another big game against that Chargers defense. And then my wide receiver two is Stephon Diggs. And this one is very interesting because they have a very tough matchup against the Miami Dolphins, who are hot. And that defense looks great. But if the Bills want to win that game, they have to feed Stephon Diggs. I mean, there's no getting around it. If they want to beat that team and have a chance of winning catching up to the Dolphins and win the division, even though it's only week four, they got to beat Diggs. I think Diggs has a massive week, along with Davante Adams.
Now, I've got a couple fun picks here. My first one, I'm going to stack them with Jalen Hurts. It's Jake's guy. It's Devonta Smith. Last season against the Washington Commanders, Devonta Smith in their first matchup in Washington had 8 catches for 169 yards and a touchdown. That's 30-plus fantasy points. Second time around, it was a little bit quieter, but he still got 15. He had 6 catches for 39 and a touchdown. Devonta Smith has at this point now a 2-game history of beating up on the Washington Commanders. I would expect that to continue this week, considering the way that he's been playing already this season. So if you have Devonta Smith, start him with absolute confidence this week. Obviously, you'd probably be starting him anyway, but I would be extra confident this week against Washington. And my number two guy He was present at practice today in San Francisco. It's Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, yeah.
Up against the Arizona Cardinals. I think this is – the Cardinals have actually not looked like a bad football team through
not
3 weeks for whatever reason.
I agree. I mean, we've been in here just, like, absolutely trashing them. But, I mean –
like, there is no more, like, picking the running back.
There's no words for what the Cardinals are. They're just a football
team. I don't know what Jonathan Gannon's cooking over there, but it's...
It's something.
It's not burning the kitchen yet, so...
Shout out Josh Dobbs, though, real quick.
Yeah, he's actually playing weirdly well.
Waiver wire pickup? No.
No. Let's not get that weird. Brandon Ayuk, yeah, I got him this week. He obviously missed this past Thursday with an injury, but... In week one of this season, there he is. In week one of the season, he had 32.9 points. You guys all remember that. Mm-hmm. 8 catches, 129, 2 touchdowns. I think he gets the ball a lot in this one. I think the Cardinals are going to focus on trying to shut down Debo the way that he's been playing the last 2 weeks. And I think Ayuk will have a big, big game this week for San Francisco. He'll be back on the field, and I think it's a good bounce back opportunity for him against Arizona.
I completely agree. I'm going to move on to my wide receivers, and I'm throwing a Hail Mary right here. You guys are going to think I'm crazy. Give me Tank Dell versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't think that's that crazy, considering he's my flex, too.
Yep. I mean, CJ Stroud has looked phenomenal so far. 300-yard games so far. Tank Dell last week, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 145 yards, and a touchdown. He saw the most targets on the team, most receptions, and the most yards, and I think that continues against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just gave up 40-plus points to Davante Adams. I can imagine Tank Dell, even though he's not Davante Adams, I think that speed threat against somebody who's old like Patrick Peterson is definitely going to be lethal. I think he's going to get a ton of yards this week. Moving on to my wide receiver two, I'm going with Chris Olave versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Olave has looked great all season, extremely consistent, hasn't necessarily had a bad game, but we're all waiting for that big breakout, and I think it comes now. Justin Jefferson completely cooked this Bucs defense week one, and I think Chris Olave goes out and does the same thing. I think it's his breakout time. He's going to be the wide receiver two this week for week four of fantasy football.
All right, let's jump into our tight ends. I mentioned it earlier, but I'm taking the stack with Mahomes, and I'm taking Travis Kelce at tight end. Best tight end in the league. Kelce is back. I don't know what Taylor Swift did to Travis Kelce, but mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like himself again. Reeled in 7 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown. That's 19.9 fantasy points in PPR leagues. They're playing the Jets defense. I think Mahomes has a big game. Kelce has a big game. It's as simple as that.
I'm going to go to another, obviously, tight end lock. I've got TJ Hockenson in Minnesota. He plays Carolina this week. I mean, Kirk Cousins loves the guy. He's had 9 targets in week one, 8 in week two, and 11 this past week against the Chargers. He's averaging about 50 to 70 yards a game. He's gotten in the end zone twice this season. Obviously, both of them were against Philadelphia in week two. But I would expect him to have another big game this week. Start him with absolute – he's actually tight end one this year. I'm just not realizing that. But so TJ Hockenson is my tight end this week. I think he's due for another big game against Carolina. Minnesota needs a win, so –
Yeah, I agree. I had a bit of a hard time picking for tight end. I'm not really sure. I'm really torn between two, and that's Dallas Goedert versus the Commanders. The Commanders are actually a good defense against the tight end, which is why I'm a bit skeptical, but Goddard is due for a big game. He hasn't really performed whatsoever with the emergence of Devontae Smith, but I think it's about time he gets himself a touchdown and he gets himself a few targets. But then I'm also really liking Sam Laporta against the Green Bay Packers, who has also emerged heavily. Kyle Pitts had himself 9 targets and 5 catches. Not the greatest game, but he did get some volume against the Packers last week, and I think Laporta is going to get the same volume now that the Packers have to focus on Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds deep. I think Laporta has a good game as well. I'm not sure who's going to be the tight end one, but it's definitely going to be one of those two guys for me.
All right, so a guy that I have in a flex, Jamie talked about a little bit earlier, big surprise, but I got Tank Dell as well.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and repeat what Jamie said, but it was simple. He balled out last week against mm-hmm. the Jaguars. C.J. Stroud looks good, just like Lincoln said earlier, and I think he's going to keep feeding Tank Dell. The Steelers secondary, like Jamie said just a few moments ago, has been giving up big numbers, like to Davante Adams. Amari Cooper had a good game the week before. I'm going to jump into the defense as well. I got the Eagles defense. Like Lincoln said as well earlier, they just dominate Washington in the regular season. Sam Howell just threw 4 interceptions against mm-hmm. the Bills defense, and I could see the Eagles doing just as good as the Bills defense this week. And then finally, as my kicker, I got Daniel Carlson. He was a great fantasy kicker at the end of the year last year. Was turning it up. He had 5 points, 5 points, and 4 points this year so far. And I think he's going to come back. They're playing against the Chargers, so I think there's going to be a lot of footballs going through the goalposts for the Raiders side. He's going to put up some good fantasy points.
My flex this week, he's playing, plays for Seattle. It's Tyler Lockett. The one thing I remember about Lockett from the last several years is that he does this thing where it's like every other game he scores like 30 points, and he's due for one now. He had 8.4 this week, but he had 26 the week prior. I don't think the Giants are very good at defense this year.
Not really.
I don't know what's wrong. I mean, like, I like the scheme they have. I like their defensive coordinator. His name is escaping my mind right now, but I think Tyler Lockett's going to have a big game this week. I think he's due for one after a little bit of a downer last week in a high-scoring game. I think they'll feed him, and he's my flex this week. I like Geno Smith in New York, and I think it'll be a high-scoring game to begin with. So heading into my defense, they play Zach Wilson this week. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. They've quietly been a very solid defense this season. Obviously, they just shut down Chicago. That's not super difficult to do, but they also looked good against Jacksonville, which would be impressive if Trevor Lawrence was playing football at this point in time. But they're a pretty solid unit, but the main benefactor is that they're playing the New York Jets offense, and that offense looks completely and utterly lost at the moment. So if you can get the Chiefs defense and you need a defense this week, I would be perfectly happy starting them. And I'm going to roll back, same as last week, with Jake Elliott in Philadelphia at my kicker. That offense is great. They're going to beat up on Washington. We don't need to hash that again, but Jake Elliott has had a lot of opportunities this year. He's capitalized on just about every single one of them. So he's a top five fantasy kicker at this point in time, and I would expect that to continue in week four.
Yeah, I agree. With my flex option, though, I'm going to go with what I know, somebody who's been balling. We talked about him today already. I'm going to go flex Keenan Allen versus the Raiders. Keenan Allen has been just amazing with no Mike Williams now. He's going to continue to ball. The Raiders just not amazing defensively. They gave up a deep touchdown last week to Calvin Austin. Just imagine what Keenan Allen's going to do on 20 targets. He's going to ball out against the Raiders, and I think the Chargers win that one big. I'm going to go defense again. Like Lincoln said, I'm going to go with the Chiefs versus the Jets. Zach Wilson just has not pieced it together yet, and I don't think he's going to do it against the Kansas City Chiefs, who just destroyed Justin Fields and the Bears. So I'm going to take the Chiefs there. Kicker, I'm also going with a Jake, but I'm going Jake Moody against the Arizona Cardinals, just because that offense in San Francisco has really come together. You're getting Ayuk back. McCaffrey's doing well. Juwan Jennings is in on third downs. Debo and Kittle finally had their good games last week. It's all come together in San Francisco. Moody has not missed a kick this year, and I think he finishes as the number one kicker this week. And that is all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa and Student Section Fantasy Sports. We'll see you all next Monday night. Peace.